Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Singing about being in love. Nothing in the world can change his mind. There's nothing else. Yeah, it's called love. This is the big finish right here. Getting ready to rip it too at the end. Here you go. I'm falling even more. Yeah, fall in love. How about that? The baseball playoffs over the weekend, awesome. And I have to tell you, my stupid-ass cousin Tom and his dumb-ass kid Joe, right? They totally, right? Well, I think it was there. See, there's a God of sports. I don't know if he's the same God as the God who governs everything else, but in a monotheistic world, he or she, if they have a gender, God only knows, right, would be the same person. In a polytheistic world, maybe not. But anyway, like, I don't totally understand it, but I know the fucking rules. And I know that if you fuck with it, bad things happen. So, going into Friday night, game 7, right? Or it might have been during game 6, Thursday night. Yeah. So my Mensa cousin, Tom, yeah, he says, I'm for Houston. I'm like, you can't be for Houston. Houston has angered the God of baseball. Yeah, that's what Houston did. They angered the god of baseball. So you can't beat for them. You dope. Don't you know anything about anything? Oh, Dusty Baker's from Sacramento. So I'm for the Astros. And I said, it doesn't work like that. You can't do that. He's like, well, I'm for Houston. I said, do you understand? Right? Do you understand what you're about to do here? Doesn't matter. I said, okay, let me write this for you. Houston will lose because you've now angered the god of baseball. They should lose anyway. You've assured that deal. And now, because you hate the Dodgers, you know what's going to happen? The Dodgers are going to win. The Dodgers are going to force game 7, and then they'll win that too. Because of your arrogance. Because you're misplacing your personal integrity. Yeah, losing your way, my son. And then his dumbass kid doubles down with him. I hate the Dodgers too. I said, oh, write it down, boys. It's done. You two rubes have sealed the deal. Two dumbass Giant fans. Tube the Braves on Thursday night. The rest of it was just all acting it out. That's right. Houston loses on Saturday. And Atlanta loses on Sunday. And a contributing factor, maybe the determining factor, is that two rubes from Sacramento jacked up the cosmic energy by defying the god of sports. Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely pathetic. And I tried to warn them. I said, boys, you don't want to do this. Think about what you're doing. You know? And just committed, like fools often are, to a course of action. Then it was a matter of pride. And then my nephew said this. You know, you're probably going to be right. And that's why I should vote for Joe Biden. Because everybody I root for loses. I said, you know what? That might be the most profound thing you've ever said. Oh, my God. Then I wake up Saturday. And somebody who listens to the show sends me the link that says John Kelly says that Trump's the most flawed human being that God's ever created. With a note that says, please listen to this. Right? So let me read into that. If you listen to the show, you know my opinion of the president, which is not very high. But you also know this. George Bush seems like a really nice guy now that he's sobered up, right? That asshole fucked up one war and started another one that's killed hundreds of thousands of people and fucked up the entire Middle East. He's a wonderful guy, though. Right? Barack Obama, he fucked up probably both those wars with his campaign, right? You know, with his campaigning and fucking with the wars and all that. He created the space, he and his administration, for ISIS to grow, to take over part of Iraq and Syria, and then us having to go back in. But he's a great guy too. He doesn't get the wrath, right, of the person who sent me this email. So I'm over, my point is, if you listen to the show, I'm over that you have to be a choir boy or choir girl. I don't see any difference between Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Donald Trump. Donald Trump's just the most caustic. But if you believe the intelligence, and I'm sure he doesn't, if you believe the intelligence, this whole thing is a fabricated event that was run with by partisans in the federal government with the knowledge of the President of the United States, with the help of the director of the FBI, the director of the CIA, and a whole bunch of falsified documents. If you believe any of that, then I don't care what your other standards are. What's gone on for the last 4 years is just fucking wrong. But none of that matters. The only thing matters is this hatred for Donald Trump. Okay? But what amazes me is the listening comprehension deafness of the guy who sent me the email. Please listen to this, you stupid fuck. Because clearly you're lost. So I'm over that you have to be a choir boy to be the president of the United States or a choir girl. What I want you to do is run the economy. I want you to stand up to people like China, and I want you to stand up to people like Russia, and I want you to understand America's place on the planet. In my opinion, not just shared by me, Grant Newsham's no fan of the president, but he will say, hey, first time an administration has stood up in the Pacific in decades, stood up on its hind legs. So that email's still pissing me off. Please, please listen to this, you dumb fuck. And maybe you could come out of the intellectual dark ages that you're living in right now. And so let me tell you this, to everybody who hates Trump who listens to the program, if you don't see in Joe Biden Donald Trump, if you don't see in Hillary Clinton Donald Trump, then you're part of the problem. Because you believe that one side is like this, but the other side's not playing by these rules. Can you imagine the hoot Hillary Clinton gets knowing that she sent this, all of this was a manufactured event to deflect examination of her servers? Imagine the hoot she gets at night. And the deep personal satisfaction knowing that she fucked his presidency up when he took her presidency from her. I mean, and I'll tell you what, whether you believe the latest shit that's come out of the Washington Post about Joe Biden. And to me, what's funny about that, he was indignant when he was asked about it. He was indignant. And you know the denial that his campaign issued? It was never on his official calendar. Now, let me tell you what denials sound like. In no way, shape, or form have I ever had any contact with or met with or had anything to do with this. That's what a denial sounds like. It was not on his official account. It doesn't appear anywhere on his official account. That's political speak. That ain't a denial. But again, it's astounding to me how people, because of their hatred of any one of those people, Trump's not like that. But Hillary Clinton is. Really? So those are to the Trump people, right? To the Clinton people. She and he are as greasy as it gets in this country. Somehow or other, donations to the Clinton Foundation have dried up. Can't figure out why. Because that thing was never a pay-to-play event, was it? Oh, maybe it was. Holy shit, who knew? Right? I mean, so to me, I please read this. It still pisses me off. Because evidently, the reading comprehension part of this program is lacking. Okay? You don't have to be a choir boy. He's a flawed human being. But the economy was going pretty good before this whole COVID thing. Not sure if you even remember that far back. But again, what's the difference between all these old, lame, fucking white people? Answer, there is none. Party affiliation. The truth, don't give a shit about it. None of them. Okay? Joe Biden's going to try to hide his way and sneak into the White House. I'm intrigued by the election. All these people that are voting, who are they? Are they the people that have historically vote? Turning out to make sure their vote's counted? Are they other people that, you know, vote off and on? Or are they people that have never voted? Who's coming out to vote? Now, in some places it doesn't matter. New York, California, you know, the places that are solidly one way or the other, it doesn't matter. What about the swing states? Who's going to come out and vote there? Are the people that are buying all the guns and ammunition across the country, are they going to come out to vote? Or is it going to be people that have never voted? So I'm intrigued about that. I'm also intrigued if the Democrats win, will they win the Senate? Yeah, if they win the Senate, going to be pretty interesting 4 years, boys and girls. The other thing I'm intrigued about, on top of that, is Joe Biden has done the hide in the basement and, let's see, how would I characterize it? I just did. And I'm going to fake my way to the White House, right? So what happens when all these bills come due from people like AOC, Bernie Sanders, right? They've been pretty quiet. Let me tell you, the roof's going to blow off the building. Yeah. It's going to be incredible to watch, right? So now, right, President Biden having to deal with that, having to deal with Nancy Pelosi, the Green New Deal, raising taxes, all of that, as all that shit comes home to roost. And now, how does he tack to the center? After he, you know, in the primaries, that's what? Who could be most left? After you're nominated, it's who could get back to the center quick enough and try to distance yourself to all those promises. But people like AOC, she's not going to forget. She's not going to forget. Interesting. Fox just put up a stat that showed that Hillary Clinton was leading by 8% Wisconsin. They showed Pennsylvania and somebody else. Three swing states. She was leading by, with 2 weeks left, she was leading by X amount of percentage points in the poll. Trump won all three states, right? Biden is ahead of Trump in those three states by less than Hillary Clinton was in 2016. So anyway, interesting stuff. So we'll see what the world gives us. To me, not much changes if the Senate stays in Republican hands. And that would, you know, that's Wall Street likes divided government the most because it's not going to go left or right very much. So we'll see really, I mean, the more important elections are the Senate election. So good morning on a Monday. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. You're going to hear today, in about 45 minutes, you're going to hear, and let me finish my little diatribe this morning with this. Before you insult somebody with your political views, think twice about it. I don't push my politics on anybody. They're my views. If somebody seeks them out, I will share them with them. But by and large, I keep my shit to myself. Because I know how polarized, you know, the nation is. I know how crazy it gets, and I don't need to go down that road with anybody. So, I mean, I would, and again, I went through my Facebook stuff, and I don't go through Facebook very much, but everybody that was posting political stuff, I either unfriended or you mute or make them an acquaintance and you don't see their shit anymore. I just went down, and it's like, come on, man. Why are you polluting the world with that stuff? There's already enough. There's already enough out there. So I would just give you this advice. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you're in a position where you're having that conversation with somebody and it goes there naturally, then that's fine. So anyway, just some advice. Today on the show, you guys, everybody met, has heard of Bev, right? So Bev lives in Saskatchewan. And she's going to tell you the story about how she crosses paths with All Marine Radio. She's Canadian. She has no affiliation with the Marine Corps. And so I'm not going to steal that thunder. Bev has physical challenges in her life. And in fact, it dawned on me. She told me that she spoke about being raped when she was 19 for the first time last week. And she said the power of post-traumatic winning. She said, I've never spoken about it in my life. And we don't even talk about that in the interview that we recorded yesterday. So anyway, you're going to meet Bev and you're going to hear her story. And she's a retired teacher, right? Born and raised in Saskatchewan, farm country, in central, in case you don't know your Canadian geography, it's in central Canada. The Canadian provinces, east to west, I believe, I think there's some called the Maritimes, and then there's Nova Scotia, and then there's Quebec, where Montreal is. And then there's Ontario, where Toronto is. And then after that, you get Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia. So Saskatchewan, north of North Dakota, Montana. Big, big farm ranch province. Anyway, so Bev's a teacher there. She has health issues. And you're going to hear about that. But she has her life changed by post-traumatic winning. And the beautiful part of the interview is you're going to hear how she begins then, with her physical limitations and all, to change the lives of other people. She's a delightful, she's funny person. And you will absolutely thoroughly enjoy, you know, meeting her and listening to her. So you're going to hear that in about, what is it, 8:24, 5:35, in about 41 minutes, all right, or thereabouts. So you're going to hear from her. Tomorrow, you're going to hear an interview I did with Lieutenant Colonel Thad Drake. He wrote a piece called The Fantasy of MCDP-1. Right. And I, you know, anyway, so come on. Are you kidding me? The fantasy? So he's a blasphemer, right? And I'm like, God, he's got to come on the program, okay, to do that in public. So you'll hear from him. And then on Wednesday, I'm not going to steal my thunder yet. You're going to hear a speech that I listened to. Now, I've listened to a portion of the speech for over 2 years, close to 2 years. And so I thought, why don't I listen to the full speech? And it's about an hour in length. And I loved it. I loved it. So that's this week. So there you have it. The here's an email. I haven't heard that song by Lighthouse in a long, long time. It's an awesome song. Tell me about your playlist. My playlist that I listened to over the weekend. I don't know. I built one last week. I listened to this song by Blake Shelton. Oh, hold on. Let me do that again. I'll edit that out. No, I won't. I don't edit shit out. I listen to this song by Blake Shelton. Called Sangria. I've always been a fan of this song. Genie in a Bottle by Christina Aguilera. I'm a bit of a Santana guy, although not all of his stuff, but some of his stuff. And I probably, there's probably about four or five songs in this playlist of his. So I was listening to that. Song has a great beginning. Michelle Branch. I was listening to a slide from Goo Goo Dolls. Because the playlist is bilingual, I listened to this from John Cicada. It's called Otro Dia Más Sin Verte, which means, in English, just another day without you. Now, the song was extremely popular in English in this country. But for whatever reason, I like the version in Spanish. And I almost have the whole thing memorized. Yeah, Spanish. The language of love. So that's John Cicada. Yeah. You know, and I thought about, like, creating this in YouTube. But you know what? When you do that, you get all of YouTube's garbage in there. All their commercials and all their shit. Oh, here it is. Here's a refrain. Otro día más sin verte. Ah, how about that? So, bilingual. Hanging by Moments in there. Yeah, that's in there. A little Michael Jackson, Remember the Time. A little bit more Santana. This is a song called Hoy es Adios. Today is Goodbye. Yeah, for those not listening in SAP. I'll go there with you. Tell me that's not good stuff right there. Santana's awesome music. And it's so different because of all the different people he brings to sing in front of his band. And another Santana song called Since Supernatural. Supernatural was an album that he put out.
Turn this up a little louder now.
Yeah.
Turn this up a little louder now.
Turn it up.
Turn it
Ladies
up.
And gents, you tuned to the sound of Carlos Santana.
Yeah, how about that? That's an awesome song called Since Supernatural. Hey Soul Sister by Train.
Hey.
That's good. That's quality music. That was in the playlist. Feels Like Fire, Santana. And Dido. Kaido sings this, right? So that, and then Stuck in a Moment, sung by U2, Mick Jagger, and Bono. Well, Bono and Jagger sing it in front of Mick Tube at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And a song about suicide. I can't remember who. In my mind, I can see his face, but I can't remember the band. A friend of both of theirs that committed suicide. And this is a song, I can't remember who wrote it, if it was, but Bono wrote it, kind of his anger at his friend's suicide. And you're going to hear Mick Jagger right here, actually being funny.
How you doing?
This is from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Award Show.
Oh, Lord. I got to tell you what, great band you two have been tonight. It's been like the most brilliant house band here. They've done everything.
Generally, weddings, funerals, and bar mitzvahs are not our thing, but actually it might be at the very essence of our band, now that I think about it. It is now.
Yeah, how about that? A little impromptu funniness.
Special song. This man will make this a special song.
Song about the aftermath of suicide. So that there's another song from that show too coming up. Maria Maria by Santana. Yeah.
Ladies and gents, turn up your sound system to the sound of Carlos Santana in the GMB product. Ghetto and Blues from the Refugee Camp.
Oh, Maria, Maria.
Yeah, that's in there. This song from Train, If It's Love. Pretty popular a few years ago. Another song by Santana. Yeah, I'm almost done, so bear with me. Oye, ¿cómo va? This is like a blast from the past. Hashtag legit. That's old Santana. And then this song from the same Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm not the biggest Fergie guy or the biggest Black Eyed Peas guy, but F-18 Man will remember this. We're in Afghanistan, and I don't know why I was in my spare time, I was watching it. And I was like, hey, man, watch this. This is Gimme Shelter. Right, the Rolling Stones song. YouTube's playing it, right? And this is the first song. Well, they're playing it. And then Mick Jagger walks out in Madison Square Garden, I think. And the place goes crazy. Fergie's singing with them. And Will.i.am is playing keyboard. So, but nobody knows Jagger's going to be there. So he walks out and starts doing his, like, whatever the, you know, right? Nobody moves like Jagger. So he starts doing his chicken dance. I mean, just the way he moves. But anyway, Fergie come and, you know, there's that, there's a part of the song, that says rape and murder. It's just a shot away. She comes and she sings the living shit out of it. Yeah. You have to watch the video. All right. And I remember showing F-18 Man this. I said, watch this, man. This is awesome. She, like, blows up Madison Square Garden. And so she's singing this this kind of series of duets with, you know, with it's she and Jagger at one point. It's she and Bono at another. And so so this is that.
Will.i.am's in the house, y'all. Fergie in the house. Yeah. Yeah, let's try something a little dangerous and special.
Gimme Shelter. from the Rolling Stones. All right, stand by. The guitars are going to let it rip here in a second. And now you're going to hear Mick Jagger walk out. Yep. Alright, let me see if I can find the part that she sings. And you'll see, she like rips the shit out of her part. Okay, here she comes. She like walks off this platform and she walks down into the front, and this is her. And they go to start playing, and the crowd goes crazy, so they kind of circle back around on whatever that series of notes. So, anyway. That, and then the last one is this song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Bono's got to run his yap all the time. He sings this with Springsteen. So there you go. That was my playlist for the weekend. The other thing I did over the weekend was worked on the script for the filming of the refilming of Pushmatic Winning, and I'm fired up about that. Making sure that all the things that are supposed to be in it are in fact in it, and then I even added something to it. Yeah, I mean it's unmanageable at this point. No, it is. It's just so good. I mean. The different profound things that, you know, that have been a part of post-traumatic winning. And now as it, the people that it impacted, as they help other people, that kind of folds back in at certain places. And, it's just really cool, really cool. So I did that. Post-traumatic winning is now like 195 slide presentation, and every one of those now has a piece of a script in it. And if you flip your PowerPoint into notes format, you can display that, and and you can actually in the notes view, right? Not the slide view with the notes underneath it, but in the note view, you can see those notes. You see those notes, and they can have, they could be different colors. They could be bold and italics and all the different emphasis you do with things like that, which you can't do when you're in like slide presenter or thing like that. So anyway, so doing that so that when I film it, it has everything that it should have in it. And then had a conversation. I'm getting fired up about the whole Trauma to Joy, the YouTube channel. The book, right? The audio book that'll be, you know, the audio book, in my opinion, will be easy. Read the book, man. But you're not supposed to make comments when you make the book. Read the book. So I had two conversations about that. Even worked on graphics, Trauma to Joy. The graphic is, that I sent somebody. He's a graphic artist, former Gunny. You've heard him on the program. Gunny Bowie, Wayne Bowie. So I call him up. I said, "Hey man, I need your help." He's like, "All right." And, so he, I said, I got an idea for graphics for Trauma to Joy. He said, okay. So it starts out with, on the left side, it's a graduated kind of black to white kind of thing. But it's got some kind of blue in it. I didn't put it in there. It just showed up. And then I took the words Trauma to Joy, and they changed from, I think, black to white too. So I graduated the background so you could see that. And then I kind of rotated them so that the lower left-hand corner of the word trauma, which is in the darkness of the graduatedly left-to-right lightning field, it's lower, right? So the words are actually ascending. Yeah, how about that? Boom! So I worked on that a little bit too. So pretty exciting stuff. And so hopefully the next 6 months is going to be pretty exciting as hopefully the book's done by that. And my co-writer, Stacy Falzerano, sent me an email last week. She said, a text message. She said, hey, Max, she said, I have to put the book on hold for a bit. I hope you don't mind. And I said, not a bit. She said, I have to bury my husband. And I said, okay. And so we had a conversation about that. And so just want to wish Stacy all the best. Because of COVID and I guess a whole bunch of other factors, there's a wait to actually be buried. He passed away on May 12th, I think, if I'm not mistaken, of this past year. And they will finally lay him to rest in Arlington in the next couple weeks. I think the first week in November. So all the best of luck to Stacy. My co-writer friend, Smart, is really, really, really smart human being who loves post-traumatic winning and is a personification of one, as is Bev, who you'll meet here in about 20 minutes. So with all that said, and my playlist now out in public, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning on a Monday. This is dedicated to my friend Stacy Falzerano. All the best of luck to you as she prepares to bury her husband, Colonel Tom Falzerano, who passed away in May. So, Stacy, God bless you. Good luck.
You hide your soul in You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. Currently, it is cloudy, partly cloudy, and 66 in Quantico. It is partly sunny and 73, Camp Lejeune. Torrine Palms, sunny and 76. Pendleton, clouds and 65. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy, 72. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 78. Down under in Darwin, it is dark cloudy, 82 in the Northern Territory of Australia. And in Oslo, Norway, it is partly sunny and 43 degrees. It's 28 degrees in Hudson, Wisconsin. Yeah, just so you know. Good luck there, everybody in the northern part of the country. All right. Will we take a break? No, we got 11 minutes, and then we'll take a break. So there's one article that I ran across. I woke up whatever time, 5 this morning. And I shouldn't have woken up that early because I didn't go to bed till midnight working on my script and whatnot. But anyhow, I did. God woke me up, so I started reading the news. Where is Hunter Biden, by the way? Anybody seen that guy? Right? Anybody seen that guy? And then the stories now that come out. This is another piece of Russia disinformation supplied by in support of the president by the Russians. Wait a minute. Isn't that the whole lie we're investigating and just finishing? Right? And then it's and then it's the embargo by Twitter, right? The fix is in. Hard not to conclude that honestly. So that's why I think, in spite of all this, what will the American electorate say? Right? Will they say, hey, we're tired of Donald Trump? Give us a guy we've never, ever, ever supported, along with a woman who dropped out relatively early in the Democratic primary process, right? Give us them, please. So it'll be interesting. That'll be, you know, only the start of interesting, though, depending on what happens in the Senate. So I'm reading, and I come across a story written by Adriana Belmonte. Never heard of her. A reporter and editor covering politics and healthcare policy for Yahoo Finance. So I see this headline. Catches my eye. So congratulations to the headline writer. America is experiencing truth decay at an alarming rate, experts warn. Truth decay. How about that? That's well done, whoever coined that one. Evidently coming out of the RAND Corporation. Fake news, the folks that gave you Vietnam analysis, right? Fake news, specifically factually inaccurate information that is presented as vetted by professional journalists has become a nationwide phenomenon over the past few years, particularly on social media. Yeah, interesting. So fake news has so many different, right? Has so many different definitions, but throw that very, very baggage-laden term out and just focus on this. Factually inaccurate information that is presented as vetted by professional journalists. Okay? That's what's gone on in our country. Has become a nationwide phenomenon over the past few years, particularly on social media. Many Americans are more ill-informed than ever before, given how easy currently it is to spread misinformation. False information that is spread regardless of intent to mislead, and disinformation, deliberately misleading or biased information, manipulated narrative or facts. So, skewed reporting, and she kind of lays out the spectrum of it is, right? The RAND Corporation is calling this trend truth decay, defined as, quote, the diminishing role of facts and analysis in American public life. In my head, I hear Will Constantini saying, it doesn't survive the second question. Right? Doesn't survive the second question. The problem with the culture is more and more young people and even older people, they don't even ask the second question. They go straight to the narrative that they want to believe. Joe Biden is really different from Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, vastly different than Donald Trump. And the answer to that is, they're not. She goes on. The three trends of truth decay. Jennifer Kavanaugh, a senior political science writer for the RAND Corporation, explained the three particular scientific trends that characterize truth decay. Quote, the first would be a disagreement about objective facts and data in places where we have clear data, clear evidence, and people continue to reject that box or say the opposite is the case. Examples would be the debate over the safety of vaccines. Is one case where we have an overwhelming body of evidence showing that they're safe, but an increasing number of people are saying that they're not safe. This has been the case with the anti-vaccine community, which promotes itself for vaccine safety. The community often denies scientific evidence, convinced that vaccines can cause fatal harm and other damage to the body, which is an alarming belief amid the coronavirus pandemic. For example, now, I hesitate to go here, but I will because it's part of the article. 44% of Republicans have a conspiracy theory that Microsoft founder and billionaire Bill Gates wants to use a coronavirus vaccine to implant microchips into billions of people so that he can monitor their movements. I don't know where that came from. I don't know that I believe that. Quote, the second trend is if you're looking at disinformation online, which is the blurring of the line between facts and opinion. See, I think Ms. Kavanaugh is wrong here. I don't think that's disinformation. I think that is somebody being a correspondent, but the consumer believes they're being a reporter and they're actually being an editorialist, right? It's really easy to mix opinion, facts, analysis, falsehoods, and it's difficult for a reader to disentangle those different types of information. to the reader, to the viewer, it's all reporting because it looks the same. Person standing there, you know, relatively well-dressed, being articulate about a subject. I saw it on the news, right? The challenge to stopping this is the First Amendment, which protects free speech. Social media companies have come under fire in recent years for allowing the spread of misinformation and disinformation. And some, like Facebook and Twitter, have started taking steps to addressing it. In an April 2020 survey from RAND, the study found that 41% of Americans believe that the news has become less reliable than it was in the past. I will tell you this. I'm astounded that it's only 41%. At the same time, the same survey found that one-third of Americans use news sources they believe were less reliable, like social media or their peers. In broader terms, in terms of the broader media, there are steps that can be taken in terms of trying not to amplify false information, Kavanaugh said. I don't know who the Kavanaugh person is, but a little bit Pollyann-esque. If we repeat false statements so as to defend it when we know it's false and we don't provide that context, all we do is we give it more ammunition. We spread it further. So thinking carefully about how we cover false information in the broader media, I think it's another step that could be taken to make sure that we're not contributing to the problem. And then the third part is organizations on both the liberal and the conservative side that create their own reality. And those are out there as well. And now the article goes on. Anybody can spread disinformation with a click. Twitter put an end to that last week. So anyway, so that caught my eye. The question is, she doesn't offer anything that you know, how does this end? How do we get back to more facts and more analysis, you know, in our daily lives? And the answer is, it ain't happening, which is troubling. Which is troubling. So, I mean, what do you think the nation looks like in 50 years? To me, what will happen with all that you see now is that it will run its course. It will spend itself. It will spend itself. And so it will run its course. You know, people will exhaust themselves looking for systemic racism, and then they will come to the conclusion that there is none. And what they find, right, as the Marine Corps is struggling with, is like, okay, if we take all identifying information off and it's just a blind, then you're going to get what you're going to get, and are you going to be comfortable with that? What happens when you don't have enough women in the selection group for promotion, right? What happens if you don't, you know, have enough minorities in that? And it's a completely blind. There's no gender. There's no anything in there. All it is, this is a human being with this record. Yeah, that person. Oh, and lo and behold, what happens when that doesn't come right? Will they be willing to stand up and tell the truth? I got an email over the weekend that said, "Hey, I was listening to you. Could I see the study? Could you send me that study that thing the Marine Corps put out on its own demographics?" I said, "Sure." And this person was on active duty, and I said, "Why doesn't the Marine Corps tell this story?" I'm like, I had no idea. Because your framing of it is absolutely the honest framing of it. That would be my take too. And the framing of it is, I want to say, black Marines are 11% of lower enlisted ranks. They are 19% at higher enlisted ranks. So throughout, their percentage grows. So that's the Marine Corps. And Hispanics are about 20%. So both of those are, I think the Marine Corps is almost 40% black and Hispanic in the upper ends of enlisted leadership. So you can see that that's them growing the peace. Now, on the officer side, I want to say 5% of the officer corps at the lieutenant level, lieutenant to captain, is black. That grows to 7%, 8% at the general officer level, right? Which doesn't get it near 13%, but you can see, right, obvious effort. Starting in stark contrast is the Hispanic numbers, which go from, like, I want to say 12% down to 4%. So the Hispanic numbers go the other way. So to me, in all the data that I saw, that's the most glaring. Like, why don't Hispanic officers stay in the Marine Corps? And so when you look at that issue, one of the things that comes up is the competition for high-end achievers, high GCT people, high physical fitness people, right, in the post-college job market. And how keen is that competition between the services for that segment? It's incredible. So anyway, why wouldn't they tell that story? And that we have to be better in recruiting women, and we have to be better at recruiting minorities, and recruiting. Look, this is not little engine that could, right? In order to lead the corporation, you have to have it going on physically. You have to have it going on mentally. You have to have it going on in terms of leadership, right? And then probably some other intangibles of a leader that would rise to the level of being able to lead a corporation. You have to have that. And so the demand for those people and their ability to write their own ticket is pretty huge. So those who would join the DOD, and then those who would then look and say, we'll join, you know, that branch of the service. That's pretty, that the competition for that person, pretty keen. Pretty keen. So question is, why wouldn't the Marine Corps tell that story? And I don't have an answer for that. Well, I do, but it's not one that you would enjoy. Top story Monday morning from Stars and Stripes. The Army is looking for a better sports bra. No kidding. Number one, right at the top of the fold. Number two, South Korean woman accuses a U.S. soldier of a sexual assault. Now, think about that. And this is why I don't think we need Stars and Stripes. A South Korean woman, the soldier has not been arraigned or arrested, right? She's accused the U.S. soldier of a sexual assault. That's the number two. That's why, to me, Stars and Stripes, sorry, man. All kinds of ways to get information. Not sure we need you anymore. Ramstein Air Base to house the new NATO Space Center. How about this? The Army is looking into a viral video showing a soldier drinking from an Ocean Spray juice bottle and lip-syncing the words to the Fleetwood Mac hit Dreams while on a daytime parachute jump. Put it up on TikTok. Right? Unbelievable. According to the Australians, the coronavirus pandemic has boosted Chinese power in Asia. The U.S. is ranked first for military capability, defense networks, resilience, and cultural influence. However, China ranks first in economic capability, future resources, economic relationships, and diplomatic influence. The United States has to, right, has to supplant the Chinese in the area of economic relationships and diplomatic influence. my biggest criticism of the Trump administration. I haven't seen this story. Ex-Congressman Duncan Hunter to serve a prison sentence at a West Texas camp. How long is he going to jail? Former Representative Duncan Hunter and former Marine will serve his 11-month prison sentence at a federal correctional institute, Latuna, in Anthony, Texas, according to attorney David Bernstein. He'll report to prison on January 4th. So, I mean, terrible, terrible, sad, sad, sad story. From the Wall Street Journal, China acceleration may not rescue the world from virus slowdown. Hopes are rising that China can pull the globe out of its coronavirus-induced funk, much as it did during the global financial crisis more than a decade ago, but economists offer a long list of reasons to be skeptical. The journal offers a path to Joe Biden and Donald Trump for their victories, which is how the electoral votes would fall. Let's see. Top story, Marine Corps Times. I'll do the top five headlines in Early Bird, and then you're going to hear from Bev. And let me just tell you, in an absolutely awesome interview. Okay, so whatever you do, don't touch that dial. You'll learn about Bev growing up becoming a teacher in Saskatchewan. It's kind of interesting because back in the day when women, you know, their careers were very limited, how she selected teaching as a profession. It's actually a little bit humorous too. Top five stories in Early Bird today. The Trump administration rejects Putin's offer on a nuclear arms deal extension. Russia needs that. Russia can't afford a competition. And the whole world knows that. Number two, plans for vet suicide prevention training. New three-digit emergency mental health crisis line signed into law. That's interesting. Number three, historic Marine Harrier Squadron sunsets as the Marine Corps looks to the F-35. Last Thursday, the Marine Corps held a sunset ceremony for Marine Attack Squadron 311, or VMA 311, as the Corps moves from the AV-8 Harrier to the F-35 Lightning. Story number four, National Security Advisor O'Brien. Despite the Trump tweet, Afghanistan Christmas withdrawal unlikely. Number five, a White House official went to Syria seeking an America's release. A White House official traveled to Damascus earlier this year for a secret meeting with Syrian government officials seeking the release of at least two U.S. citizens thought to be held there, the Trump administration said on Sunday. So those are just a look at most of the top headlines around. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. This program continues here on a Monday, and you're going to hear just an awesome interview with Bev. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.